Okay, we're going to continue on page Pei 80A1. So Rabbi Habi Yosef lived Tzipor and Shvaas and Shnin. Rabbi lived in Tzipor for 17 years. Ukral Garmei by Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shvaas and Shnin. Just like Yaakov Avinu lived in Mitzrayim 17 years, so too by Yehi Yehuda by Tziporin, referring to Rabbi Noachalish Shvaas and Shnin. Now there's a comparison obviously being made here between Yaakov Avinu and Rabbi Noachalish. Footnote 5 points it out here, I think. Years that Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim was distinct from all the preceding years. Yaakov was at that point very old and infirm. His eyesight was failing. He was removed from his beloved Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, Rabbeinu HaKadosh began the last 17 years of his life in poor health. And that's why he had to relocate from Beis Sha'arim, where he had previously presided over his Beis Din. And so there is this comparison of Yaakov's final years with Rabbeinu HaKadosh's final years. And then afterwards he writes that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the Yaakov of his generation, because neither one would ever die. In other words, Yaakov Lameis, in a certain sense, Rabbeinu HaKadosh also, in a certain level, never dies. Sifsei Tzadik from Rav Tzadok HaKohen, he mentions, it says here, it's in Parshas Vayechi, that Rebbe was the spiritual counterpart of Yaakov. I mean, Yaakov's accomplishments culminated in Torah Sheva Ksav, and Rabbeinu HaKadosh's deeds culminated in the aura of Torah Sheva Al Peh. And there's other stuff here that we're not going to elaborate on now. Umin Goyven, and from among the 17 years, Avad Tlas Esrei Shnin Chashash Vishnin, he had for 13 years terrible pain in his teeth. Amviyasi Rabon, Klois and Shleish Esrei Shona, Lomeis Achai Baritz Yisrael, those 13 years that he was in pain. So as a schus for the door, no woman in childbirth died in Eretz Yisrael. Lohi Pilu Ubro Eretz Yisrael, there was nobody miscarried either. So that was a special schus. In footnote 6, it says it's possible for a righteous person to suffer on behalf of the generation and atone for their sins, either by choice or otherwise. And the Maharal explains the idea this way: the Jewish people is not merely a collection of disparate individuals. It's an integral unit, just like a human body, although made up of many parts. It comprises an integrated and unified being. So there are times when Hashem causes certain parts of the body to suffer for the sins of the organism as a whole. When this occurs, the punishment is directed against the essential part of the organism. For in effect, this is a strike against the body as a whole. In the case of Jewish people, this would mean suffering is sometimes directed against the most righteous individuals, because they are the community's heart, so to speak. This is different kinds of explanations. Okay, v'lomachosh shinoi. So why did Rebbe suffer from his teeth? So this is a famous story. Chazman Avar, one time Rebbe was passing by. Chamochad Egel Minchas, there was a calf that was ready to be slaughtered, and it hung its head among the folds of Rabbeinu HaKadosh's garment. Gavar Amalei, the calf, said to him, Rebbe Sheizvai, Rebbe, save me. Amalei, so Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, L'kach notzarto, this is why you were created. So there was a gzeirah hashamayim that you didn't show mercy for the animal, so let suffering come upon him. Nosson Wachvogel, it says it here in footnote 8, comments, certainly there was no complaint against Rebbe for simply designating an animal for slaughter, nor it says that an animal's end is for slaughter. So that's Bracha 17a. So the calf had fled to Rebbe and come within the folds of his cloak to be saved. In such circumstances, the quality of mercy requires a person to assist and not push away the one seeking his protection. So therefore he suffered in his teeth. Why? Because this involved no general illness. The issue with his teeth was simply pain and was sufficient to chastise him. Okay. Ubesoifa ech in shams, ech in nashmas, whatever it is. In the end, how did Rabbeinu HaKadosh find relief from this tooth pain? Chamshon Chatan Chadkan the Achbarin, he saw his household servants were about to exterminate a nest of mice. Amar Arponon, leave them be. Barachim al Kol Ma'asav Ksiv, it says that Hashem has mercy on all his creatures. So this was a way to show that he had learned his lesson, I guess, so to speak. The Gemara goes with another story. Rebbe Hava Anvon Saigen. Rebbe was exceedingly humble. Hava Amar, he would say, Kol Madi Emeli Bar Nosha, I know of it. Whatever someone tells me, I'm prepared to do. Kusimash also Zigni Besera Lizigni. Except for the older people of Besera did for my ancestor Hillel. The Shrein Garmon Mesi Aso. They released themselves from the office of the Nasi permanently. Umanune, and they appointed him instead. They recognized he was superior to them in Torah scholarship. Nevertheless, in Solak of Huna, Reish Galusa Lohacha, if Rav Huna, the Reish Galusa, would have come here in Eretz Yisrael, and a Moshe Lele El Minai, I would seat him above me, to whom in Yehuda Va'anami Binyamin. He is more directly from Binyamin, from Yehuda, from the Shevet of the Malchus, and I'm from Binyamin, to whom in Dechraya Va'anami Mukvasa. He has his ancestry through the Malchus of Beis David is through his father, through the male side, and I descend from the female side, so therefore it's more fitting for him to, he has better yichas than I have. Chazman, one time, all Rav Chiya Rubel Agave, Chiya the Great came to Rebbe, Amaleish Rav Chiya said to him, Harav Huna Lavar, behold, Rav Huna is outside. So it sounded, he didn't understand what he was really telling him. So he thought that he was telling him that he was standing outside waiting to come in and wanted permission to enter. So in his karkam upon of Shal Rebbe, Rebbe's face turned red because he was upset that he was causing someone else to wait for him. A Malay, so Rebbe Chiya told him, no, I meant Arono bought that his coffin is coming because the Reish Galusa had passed away. A Malay, so Rebbe said to him, Pukhami man boy loch levar. Go and see who needs you outside. Nafak v'layashchak barnash. Rukhiya went outside, found nobody there. He died because Allah, he knew then that Rebbe was upset with him. Because it says in footnote 17 that he was telling him, he was slighted. Rebbe slighted Rukhiya, his student, for not being considerate of Rebbe's sensitive situation. Rav Chiya should have realized that a visit from a live Reish Galusa would cause Rebbe displeasure. Rav Chiya should have therefore been clear in saying that the coffin of Reish Galusa arrived. In other words, he caused him, even though it was only temporary, but even for that temporary amount, he deserves to be given a little bit of mussar. Avar, so therefore he undertook a regimen of self-rebuke. He didn't go to see Rabbeinu Kodesh for 30 days. Kind of like a self-imposed type of harem. I'm Rabbi Yossi Rabbon, so Rabbi Yossi said, calling the Klasi Yamaya, during those 30 days, Yolch Rabbi Nei called the Uraisa. Rav learned from his uncle Rav Chiya the essential content of the Torah. The end of 13 years and 30 days, all Eliyahu Lagabei, so Eliyahu Hanavi came to Rabbi, Vidmus Rav Chiya Ruba, in the form of Rav Chiya the Great. Amalei, so Eliyahu says to Rebbe, Ma Mori Ovid, how's my master doing? Amalei, Chad Shinai Mi'iko Li. One tooth is tormenting me. Amalei, so Leo and Ovid said, Kamile Li, show it to me. Kamasle Li, Kamasle La Le, he showed him the tooth. Kavetz was saying, I love enchants. Leo placed his finger on it and it was cured. Lamukhar Al Rebbe, Chia Rubal Agabe. The next day, Rav Chiya the Great came before Rebbe. Malay, my Alvin Rebbe. So he said to Rebbe, how are you doing? Haishina Mahiabina, how's that tooth of yours doing? Malay, so Rebbe said to him, and I, he shaited, that's what's Allah in Shams. The moment you place your finger on it, it was cured. Malaysa Shah Amar, so that moment, Rav Chiya realized that Rabbeinu Kasha's suffering had ended. He said, Ilachem Chayas Shabbat Eretz Yisrael, woe to you women in Eretz Yisrael. When in labor, Ilachem Ubers Shabbat Eretz Yisrael, woe to you pregnant women. Because now this chus of the pain of Rabbeinu Kasha is gone, So he was concerned. So Rabbi says to Rabbi, I was never here yesterday. So Rabbi realized at that moment that it wasn't Rabbi Chiya, but rather it was Eliyahu Hanavi. When I shaita avinog beikar. So from that point on, he had newfound respect for Rabbi Chiya because, you know, here you have Eliyahu coming in his disguise as his, you know, what's it called when you go, what's it called when you go as a person? I can't think of the word. Imposter, right? You're an imposter when you try to act like somebody else. What's it called when you try to act like? What's the word I'm looking for when you try to? When you come acting like someone else? Impersonation, right? Correct. Thank you. So the impersonation of Eliyahu Hanavi was of Rabbi Chiya, so Rebbe had newfound respect for him, right? Yep. For example, Kan Hava Olal Beis Vada, when Rebbe would come to the study hall, Hava Amra, he would say, "You can't show Chiya Rubal of them, let Rabbi Chiya come ahead of everybody." Amalei Rebbe Yishmol Rabbi Yosi, so Rabbi Yishmol said to him, "Lifnim Mimedi, should he go ahead of me also, Melechas Hashem? Heaven forbid, Ala Rabbi Chiya Rubo Lifnim, he should enter ahead. Rabbi Yishmol Rabbi Yosi, Lifnai Lifnim. Rabbi Yishmol should be ahead of ahead." So in other words, he should be even further ahead. Another example, Rabbi Hava Masani Shivchei Rabbi Chiya Rubo, Kumi Rabbi Yishmol Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi would relate the praises of Rabbi Chiya in the presence of Rabbi Shmuel. Chadzman, Chame, Goboni. One time Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yosi, saw Rabbi Chiya inside a bathhouse. But he showed him no deference. In other words, he didn't stand up for him. Amalei, so Shmuel said to Rabbi, Ahanu da'at ma'sana shivchei? Is this the one that you are praising? So Malaysia, Rabbi said, Ma'avlach, what did he do to you? Because Rabbi figured out that Rabbi Shmuel was not that happy with him. Amalei, Kamsei goy boni, luskanam in koni. He saw me in the bathhouse, he didn't get up, he didn't show me any respect. Amalei, so Rabbi said to Rabbi Chiya, Lama avad kei. Why did you treat Rabbi Shmuel disrespectfully? Amalei, so Rabbi Chiya said in his own defense, Yea, all alive, a misfortune come upon me. The in softest law you does. In other words, may misfortune come upon me if I'm lying when I say that even if I washed in the bathhouse that day, I was not aware of it. And certainly I don't know if you washed there. Why he shite at that time. Ashkris enai b'chol sefer tilim agada. My mind's eye was focused entirely on the agada of Tehillim, and I must not have been aware of my surroundings. So that was the reason why I didn't get up from you. I didn't realize you were there. A lot of problems with this Gemara. First problem is that the din is, as we all know, that you don't have to stand up for a Rebbe in a bathroom. It says you only have to stand up. Gemara Kedushin. You only have to stand up in Mokum where it shows covet. So what's the whole problem of him not standing up in a bathhouse? Second problem is, how is he learning in a bathhouse altogether? You know, he's thinking and learning what's going on over here. So let's see. Footnote 3 brings you fame Mara that... Rabbi and Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yosi, were in an outer chamber of the bathhouse. We moved from the other baths. And that chamber, then you could learn Torah and you could. Okay, so basically he's saying you weren't in the actual inside bathhouse. You were in the outside bathhouse where you could have the study and you could show covet. Anyway, he was very involved in learning, obviously. So he shites from that moment on, Rabbi gave Rabbi Chiya two students to walk with him and protect him against Sakanto because of danger. Obviously, you know, someone so, I don't want to say absent-minded, but he's so preoccupied in learning, he could, it says over here on the footnote, I think that he could walk into a pit or something. Yeah, he was liable to fall into a pit. walking from one place to another. It's well known the stories of a Ruderman going for walks and then not knowing where he was, and he'd have to call and find out where, how to get home. Okay. Rabbi Yossi saw him Tamne Yonim. Rabbi Yossi fasted for 80 days. Lamechame Rabbi Aruba, he wanted to see Rabbi the Great in a dream. L'Saifa Chama, in the end, he did see him. Rugs in your day, uvaho in enoi. After the experience of seeing his face in a dream, his hands were shaking and his eyes were dimmed. In the Tamar, the Haver Rabbi Yossi, Barnash is the ear, and if you think that it's because Rabbi Yonah was not that kosher of a person, and therefore he, seeing him was dangerous to him, I'll tell you a short following story. Chagardi Asli Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, there was a weaver who came before Rabbi Yochanan, a Malay, he said to him, I saw my dream that the sky was falling. And one of your students was supporting it. A Malay, so Rabbi Yochanan says to the weaver, do you know him? If you can, you like pick him from a lineup. Amalei, so the weaver said, "In, anochamilei, I would recognize him if I'd see him again." So, anochamilei, anochachemlei, right? If I would see him, I would recognize him. Over called Tamidoi Kamai, so Rabbi Yochanan had all the students go by him. Bachachim, Rabbi Yosef, he recognized Rabbi Yosef. He pointed to him. So you see, Rabbi Yosef was a very great man. But yet he also trembled before the vision of Rabbi Aruba. Another story, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Now here we have the other way around. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is also going to fast for the same reason. Some tlas mavon Simon. He fasted 300 fasts. Lamechmei Rabbi Aruba. He also wanted to see Rabbi Aruba. But unfortunately, even after all that work, lo chamsei, he did not get to see him. So in the end, he realized he was unsuccessful, so obviously he was very upset. And I would be upset if I fasted 300 fasts and it didn't end up working. So he said, he kind of like said, ze lo fair. What? Why? Ma have a loibi arisa sagin minai? He was more involved in Torah learning than I tried my best in learning. Footnote says very clearly, he's not trying to say he's on the same level of learning. He's trying to say that I tried my best, and that's the most anyone could ask for. That's an interesting footnote 6. Amalei, so the emissary said to him, "No, rebates to Yisrael Yosef. He was Marbet's Torah more than you were. He went to Golis Malain for Torah." So Rish Lakish said back to them, "What do you mean? I also went to exile for the purpose of Torah." So they said back to them, "No, that's different. You exiled yourself in order to learn Torah. Who have a gully mouth? He went into exile to teach Torah." Footnote 7 brings a whole story about how we go to a town where there was no teachers. He would teach 5 children, each a chumash each, and then he would have each child teach the other one the sefer that he learned, and that way he would be spreading Torah throughout the land. The same thing is, he took 6 children, taught each one of them a seder of Mishnayos, and then he had each one of them teach one another the seder. And that way, he would be marbet's Torah throughout the land. Many years later, when Rav Huna Reish Galusa passed away, Askuni Lohacha, they brought him to Eretz Yisrael. So, they didn't know where to put him. On Anan Yavin Lake, where should we bury him? Amr says, some people say, Naiseset Naitine Kabe Rav Chia Ruba. Let's put him with Rav Chia Ruba and his sons, to whom he did join. He was from their family, Amrin. Then they said, "Man by May of Light, who wants to put the body of Rav Huna there? Who would dare go into the sanctity of Rav Chia's crypt?" And Rav Chagi and all of Leah Light. So Rav Chagi stepped up and he volunteered to do the job. And Mulei, they said, "Ilsoch at boi, you are simply trying to make a pretext for yourself. Dak Varsav, you're an old man. You expect to die there on account of the intrusion. I'd buy male mace of loch tamon. You really want to go in there and put yourself there to remain interred next to Rabbi Akiva yourself. So, you know, you're volunteering for a position, which is a suicide mission, but that's what you want. On the line, so Rabbi Akiva said, yeah, if you're afraid, if you think that of me, you have been mishichas of a regli, tie a rope to my feet, then anyas, and if I tarry an unreasonable length of time, atan garshin, you can pull me out with the rope. So all Vashka Tlas done it. He went in and he found that there were three people who were involved in the judgment. Yehuda, the verdict was announced as follows. Yehuda b'ni acharecha, Yehuda my son, there is no one bein od. Yehuda my son, there is no one after you. Chizkiya b'ni acharecha bein od. Chizkiya my son, there's no one after you. And am I reading this wrong? And it says, Acharecha Yosef ben Yisrael ve'enod. And after you, Yosef, the son of Yisrael, is no one else. So, what exactly is going on over here? It says over here in footnote 12 that Yehuda and Chizkiya were the sons of Rabbi Akiva. They were buried with him. A heavenly voice issued forth and proclaimed, Yehuda, my son, there's no one after you. Then Chizkiya, my son, there's no one after you. Myra Fold explains that the voice meant to compare the two sons to the great father. When they died, they left no one who could equal them in their saintliness or noble deeds. Okay, well, basically what's happening here is that he's hearing a verdict that his two sons are going to die soon. Not sure. And then you, Yosef, the son of Israel, the patriarch, is no one else. What does that mean? It's a reference to Rabbi Akiva, who personified the qualities of Yosef. So, just like Yosef was the prime Talmud of Yaakov, so too Rabbi Akiva was the prime Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, apparently. Anyway, from these statements, Rabbi Akiva understood it was inappropriate for Rabbi Huna to be laid to rest over there. Okay. Plus, Enoi Mistakla. So Rabbi Akiva began to lift his eyes to look at what was happening. But it's Amalei, but someone told him, Apech, Apech, lower your eyes, because you don't want to be harmed. Shema Kalei, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda Bray. Rabbi Akiva heard the voice of Rabbi Akiva the Great speaking to Rabbi Yehuda, his son. Napesh L'Rav Huna Yosef Lei. Make room for Rabbi Huna so he can sit here next to you. Well, come on, Lai Masav Lai, but Rav Huna did not, in his humility, accept it. Amar, come on, come on, Lai Masav Lai, that just as Rav Huna did not accept upon himself the honor of being seated next to Rav Chia's family, which is an act of consideration, it will last to the end of days. Kaksar Yisi Lepaskal Olam, so too may his descendants never cease. The Yotzim Yisham, Rav Chia emerged from the crypt safely. He was 80 years old at the time. And he had double that amount of years added to his life. And that's the end of Daf Pei. We were on Pei Aleph already, but that's the end of it.